And in Luke 23 and at verse 43, the words of Jesus to the malefactor, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Of course, it was the day of the malefactor's death. And I want us to face the question today: if it were the day of our death, would paradise be our destination? Of course, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has his or own today. The day when they were turned from darkness into light. The day when they believed and turned to the Saviour. But can you know, can you say today, if it were the day of my death, I would be with the Lord Jesus Christ in paradise? It was a wonderful thing to say in this way. We know that Jesus was buried and was 3 days in the tomb. We assume that the malefactor also was buried in a malefactor's place. And yet Jesus says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." From which we can conclude what is taught in other places of Scripture, that the spirit returns to God who gave it when the body is buried in the tomb, in the ground. Jesus, though buried, would be in paradise. And so would this malefactor, though buried, be in paradise. When we die as believers, our soul leaves our body and goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our body is buried, burned, whatever. And if we're not believers, our soul is separated from our body, and our body is buried or whatever, and our soul goes immediately to hell, as the Lord himself taught in the parable of Lazarus. So how can this man who was a thief qualify, if that's the word I should use, for the Lord's words, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise"? Picture the three of them. We tend only to picture the Lord Jesus Christ having his cross carried for him because of the way he had been so evilly dealt with. They didn't want him to die before he got to the cross. Nor come to that, did the Lord. So they got a passerby to carry his cross. But two others were there with him on that journey. They were buried with the Lord Jesus in the middle, but whether on the walk carrying their cross, they went before Jesus or after him, or one before and one after, we have no means of knowing. But it was a long last mile, slow. For the people who were condemned to death, that was a long journey. It was outside the city. It wasn't very far, but condemned to death, knowing that it was the last time you would see this world, it was a long walk. And people were hostile to you. Thieves often injured people throwing stones at them. Eggs were too good for them. They only throw those at politicians. But people could throw. And people could make their hatred sound, and they could shake their fists just in front of them as they went by. Those last few moments on earth for a thief, a malefactor, a murderer were not nice. Were miserable. And so thieves, malefactors, were led with the Lord Jesus to Calvary. And they crucified him there. And the two. Now the place was known as Calvary in Latin. And in Hebrew, Golgotha. And it meant the place of the skull. It was a place where people were put to death. And it wasn't a very nice name to be thinking that that's where you're going. But there are those who think, and I have no idea, that the skulls of many people who died before them were left there. That would be an even more wretched situation, in which not only to spend your last moments on earth, but to look down while you were dying, that you were going to be like that. When they hung Jesus upon the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The significance of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. They had no idea of the nature of the evil that they were committing. So he cried out, "Father, forgive them." And of course, because the Father refuses his Son nothing, they were forgiven. Many people who observed the cross were pardoned. And those who put him to death were probably condemned on other grounds than the fact that they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thieves were watching. And we read that the people stood beholding, and that the rulers also came and derided him, and that the soldiers came and mocked him. And the other gospels tell us that both the thieves cast the same things in his teeth. All around was hostility. But one malefactor noticed. He prayed. He'd been thinking, why doesn't he deliver us? He says he's the Lord. They were thinking of themselves. And then it struck this one thief. He's praying for others. He's not thinking of himself. He's not thinking of the terrible things that are happening to him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then they parted his raiments, and presumably that of the thieves, and cast lots. The two thieves who had been saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And the other thief, when the one was having his mind being changed, the other thief not only said, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself," but he cried out, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." And I expect the other thief noticed that. "Save thyself," is what the others were saying, just to see if he could do it, would do it, could be believed in. But this other thief, in all his evil nature, not only said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself," but he was more interested in being delivered himself. And it was at that time that the other thief came out into the open. You can see how how he changed, or indeed maybe how he was changing. And the reason that we're just reading this story and looking at it, preaching the gospel from it, is that for a person to know from the Lord Jesus Christ that today, the day of their death, they should be with him in glory, in principle, the same things as we see in this thief must have subsequently happened to them also. So the first thing is that this thief noticed that Jesus was different. He says so in a little while. And we assume from that that he was observing Christ, observing also the other thief, observing the crowd, knowing that it was full of hostility from everybody, soldiers, rulers, common people, just standing there. But Jesus had no hostility. Prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe, no means of telling, but maybe this thief thought to himself on the cross, for his mind was not impaired, if the Lord Jesus can pray for those who sentence him to death to be forgiven, why not me? Maybe he thought like that. But when the other thief came out again and said, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us," he rebuked him. And he said, "Do you not fear God?" The implication is that he thought that Christ was God. He could say those words and not mean that. But the implication surely is here, that first of all, he's accepting that the one who's dying on the cross between them is indeed the Son of God. And that's something that in order to be with the Lord in paradise on the day of our death, that we must have come to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord, is God, is man, flesh, God made flesh, man drawn into Godhead. So he says to him, "Do you not fear God?" Does it not make you wonder that he's dying on the cross with us? We deserve it. But he has done nothing amiss. He does not. There's two things there. This man confesses that he is a sinner. "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly?" So in order that the Lord might say to us on the day of our death, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," we need to have come to that spot where we confess that we're sinners and that God would be just in judging us and in putting us away. We receive the due reward of our deeds. He was confessing that he deserved whatever it was that happened to him. The other thief didn't. Most of mankind doesn't. But he was willing in the presence of Jesus Christ to notice and understand that they were getting what they deserved. Now, all mankind gets what he deserves, what he deserves. By nature, we do the things that belong to nature, things contrary to God, and we deserve the curse that is promised to us, unless we are redeemed. And this man recognized that God was quite right to bring the condemnation, the curse of God upon him. For cursed is everybody that is nailed upon the cross. And if he was a Jew, he would know that. "This man has done nothing amiss," he says. So he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. That he'd done nothing wrong. that he was dying as not as a sinner. He probably didn't understand that his death was for others, but he did somehow dimly see that the Lord Jesus was dying without sin, that he'd been unfairly and unjustly put to death. And so he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Remarkable. They're on the cross. They're going to die. And he says, "When you come into your kingdom," it's a giant leap of faith. "Lord," he says, "remember me." So here is another stage. He comes to the place where he can call Jesus Christ Lord. That is to say, he knows that he has the right to be master over him and has authority over all the world as the Son of God. And so he calls him Lord. He understood it. And he speaks with great respect. And he speaks to one that is dying alongside him. But he says, "Lord, remember me." In a way, it's similar to the principle that ends Isaiah 53. The principle is the principle of resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. And here it is. "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief," that's death. "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin," that is when you'll die, "he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." And we have it again in verse 12. "I will divide him a portion with the great, because he hath poured out his soul unto death." Without saying so in so many words, there is resurrection. He poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. But the Lord would enable him to divide the spoil with the strong. That is to say, have more spoil, more victory than any of earth's greatest victors. And it's the same thing here, same thing happening. He's dying, and yet he can say, "When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." The Lord Jesus is dying, but he'll be capable of remembering. He believes in resurrection, doesn't he? It may only just be a mustard seed grain of faith, but that is what it means. And do we trust in a risen Lord Jesus while we're alive? He wasn't yet risen for this man, but he knew he was going to be. "Remember me," he says, "when thou comest into thy kingdom." So here he acknowledges that Christ, though on the cross, though suffering terribly, is a king. And he's soon going to be in the kingdom. He acknowledges that this lowly Lord Jesus Christ suffering with him, in fact, the just for the unjust, but perhaps the robber didn't know that, but he knew he was unfairly dealt with, but he didn't know it was for the benefit of others, perhaps. But he says, "Lord, remember me." He believes it would be for his benefit. "When thou comest into thy kingdom." His faith rested there. If Jesus had said no, if Jesus had maintained silence, if Jesus had said, "I haven't got a kingdom coming," all the hopes of this man would have been dashed. But Jesus was all this man thought, and said unto him, Verily, if anything is true, this is true. Verily, I say unto thee. He was on the cross one side, Jesus was in the middle. He turned to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus looks at him and says, Verily, I say to thee. A personal faith, a personal love of the Lord Jesus to this man. Verily, I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, he could endure anything, couldn't he? Even though he had pain, even though he was expected to die, even though he had no hope unto this moment, he believed in the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said, today, he'd be with him, not just on the cross, but in paradise. And of course, they knew very well what paradise was. Jesus uses the expression. Paradise, same word as in the Garden of Eden. But the earth would not yet be restored. But today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So, on the cross they were close and suffering. And later that day they would be in everlasting bliss together. And we know that Jesus returned for his body after 3 days and bodily rose. And that none of us will receive our bodies, but we'll come with the Lord Jesus on that day, and our bodies will be made new and given to us. But Jesus says, today. Well, it was urgent for the thief. He didn't have long to live. And I suppose many people who don't come to the Lord the day they first hear the gospel reckon they've got years ahead of them to live. Sometimes that's right. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes they won't see the day out. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Jesus said to somebody who thought like that, thou fool. Today is our day of opportunity. Today is our day to speak and come to the Lord and for the Lord to reply to us. Today I have received thee. Today we are joined forever in love. And today, if it is the day of our death, we shall be with him in paradise. Today, what a wonderful thought for the thief to be able to endure. If you knew something wonderful was going to happen, you didn't know whether it was 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, it wasn't very long. But today, he could endure anything. He could go through anything. See his commitment to the Lord. As long as Jesus was there, whom he'd observed, acting in certain sort of wonderful ways, as long as Jesus was there, he feels he himself would be all right. And that's one of the most wonderful thoughts you can have. As long as Jesus loves you, you are ultimately going to be all right. It's a deep thing that happens within ourselves. We want to know that ultimately, when the worst of all happens, when we die, that we are in the hands of the Lord Jesus. And this man knew that, and it gave him the strength to go through all the difficulties of life, all the setbacks of life, all the tragedies of life, all the losses of life. And here he was, today. Oh, he's got something to look forward to. He had nothing to look forward to. He was very bitter, as the other thief, because he was actually getting paid back far worse in death than probably any damage he'd done. He possibly thought it was all unfair. And suddenly when Jesus says, today, paradise, think of the strength to live that we can have once we know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Till that day when we are gathered to be with him. It's a wonderful example of the Lord's saving of us all. It's the last example of him physically while on earth saving a soul. But in principle, it is such a wonderful expression to us. We believe in him here, amidst the worst of things that can happen to us. And he is committed to us here, that we might know that our destiny is to be with him. May we all be sure of that. May we know that if this was the day of our death, Jesus, in fact, says to us, today, thou wilt be with me in paradise. Amen.